You're the water, you're the all that's there. Oh, oceans.
Let me try it. Hold on. That was crazy. Nah, I'm cool. I feel like the black community, they rock with you so heavy. Is it natural for you to hit those notes, those melodies, those riffs?
I think it goes back to
the Hillsong, Maverick Cities, who like make music for the church, but it's so good. Yeah. The world pays attention. Do you think about that type of stuff when you're creating?
I've never thought of myself as a Christian artist explicitly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However,
I mean, you've performed with the biggest celebrities in the world, a woman in mainstream music. How much skin are you showing? How sexualized are you being? Do you feel that you're accepted or do you care?
Yeah, I think.
This is The Deep End with LaCrae.
All right, so we're here, this is wild. Because we hung out for years, but this is, like, we haven't done this.
We haven't.
So this is kind of, it's funny, because the crazy part about it is, I'm sitting here, like, cameras, mics, and all this type of stuff, and I don't even see you that way. And it's like,
because we're real friends.
That's what
we're
saying. Real life friends. So it's kind of weird in a way, because, like, I had to, like, do research, and, like, and I'm like, yo, I'm researching my friend out here, like little sis. And I'm like, but I'm learning stuff.
Yeah.
So that's all I was like, we were talking earlier and I was like, dang, man, have I been a good friend? Because I don't think I paid attention to some of the things that you navigate with.
And you have, though. I feel like you've always been very, very supportive and encouraging. And it's an honor to be officially on your podcast, I will say.
Man, it's wild. So it's like, you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
You got a new album, new tour.
Yeah.
And I didn't care, but the world cared. New hair.
But I didn't care. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't care that much either, but other people cared. But I love it.
That was one of the wildest things to me is how many people cared about your hair color changing. I was like, yo, this is the thing.
I know. I get it, though, because I think I was blonde for so long that people didn't realize this is my natural hair color.
Yo, that.
So to me, I was just going back to my literal roots and people were like, wait, because they have, you know, this. I mean, and this is like on a larger scale, too. But if you zoom into just hair, people have, they expect something because they get used to something.
Yeah.
And then if you change it, they're like.
It's like a brand.
Yeah.
And they're like, you changed the brand up.
Yeah, but it was like exciting for me. I was like, oh, this just makes sense for
Listen,
where I'm at.
I see it. I'm like, okay, hair. I see you hair. But the world is like, she changed her hair. What does this mean? What is happening?
Yeah.
So all that stuff is, I'm not even gonna lie to you. It's low key weird to me, but I get it. It's like, yo, this is like little sis, but y'all, it's like, a bigger deal. So I'm tapping into it because it's like, okay, it matters. So I'm just, you know what I mean?
I guess to some people,
I'll tap it in. But yeah, man, there's so much to talk about, I think, off the cuff. Because we want to talk new album, we want to talk tour. But I want to tap into just like the fact that you're sitting here, like how this even came to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know. So you probably have a different experience of like our connection and how you found out about my world and vice versa. But I just remember, I just knew you as the person making YouTube videos, right? That's what I knew. And then my guy Biz, shout out to Biz, my engineer and also a
now
good friend.
I
think I remember Biz talking to me about you and just musically. And everyone was a fan. And then you started kind of bubbling and doing your thing.
Wow.
And then there was so much buzz. You were on tour. And they were like, Tori's playing your album before she goes on stage to the audience.
Yeah.
It was Anomaly. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that's kind of crazy. So that made me reach out like, what the heck is happening here? So
what year would that have been?
Oh my gosh, that had to be.
Well, it'd be like the same year we met, maybe,
probably,
when
yeah.
you came
yeah.
out in Nashville.
Yep. So
that would have been probably 2015, 15. Which was like the craziest year of my life.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what do you like, what happened? Why did that?
Well, I feel like I was kind of late to the Lecrae like train, which like your fans are probably mad at me for that. But I knew your name and I'd heard about you, but
okay.
I mean, I include myself in that wave of the Anomaly album. Cause yeah. like that was That's a true. Huge moment.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Grammys, the whole thing. I was like, wait, this is so sick. And I think my mom was maybe the one that like brought you up. Like shout out to mom.
I love your mom.
She always has like her finger on just the pulse of like what's happening, what's cool. But she was like playing me your stuff. And I was like, wait, he's so cool. And then I put a playlist together for my tour. You were on it. And I just loved what you were about and what you were singing about in your music, how real you were, but how it was so relatable to like everybody, not just a certain group of people. And then I don't remember how you came out. I must have just asked you to come out.
I don't even know.
Because we didn't have a song yet.
No.
Together.
No.
I was just like, maybe, I must have reached out or something on like
either
Instagram.
Somebody reached out to somebody. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Somehow
but
it happened.
But you came.
Yeah.
And it was randomly in Nashville though. Yep. I don't know why we must have just both been there at the same time.
We were
time.
Both there at the same time.
And then Dan and Shay also were at that show.
That's right.
So it was a crazy crossover.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And we just did, I think we did
Matter
All
fact,
I Need Is
I
You.
I think that's how because my guy Derek knew someone from Dan and Shay's team. And he was like, they're out with Tori. And so I was like, oh, let me come because Tori.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then, we finally met that show.
Yep.
And then, from there, I think we just like kept in touch.
Yeah.
You knew you at that point, I think I would have been just dating Dre, now
let
husband.
Let me tell you.
For people don't know.
Let me tell you, I remember all of that time period. And
it was
a part
fresh.
Of me that was like, yo, if you rock with him, rock with him. Cause I remember there was some people who were like, well, what does he do? Or what is he, you know what I mean?
It's just
like, what's I think people wanted you to be with like
Yeah, people had their ideas, projections.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
But like early on.
He wanted you to be with a record producer or something like that. Like,
I don't even know. It was weird. It's funny how, when people start having opinions when like something like that happens. But we're very happy. We're very in love. And I think.
That's my dog, Dre.
Yeah,
shout out to Dre.
Dre's the best. Shout out
I thought
Dre.
He was going
to
be here. Dre, I'm upset you're not here. But it's all good. I'll see you later.
Yeah. We'll hang. But Dre, he was playing basketball early on at the time. So I think some of those like questions and concerns came like later. Once it was like he was trying to put a ring on it, then it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold up. Like we were all cool just dating, but then it got real. So
well, a lot of other people were mad, like fans and stuff were mad because you're supposed to marry them. That's in the fans' minds.
Oh, right. A lot of people thought he was my security guard for a long time.
I mean, he could be. My man is like 6'5", 6'6", swole up, big dude. So I'm not shocked.
We love Dre.
But what was funny to me was I knew you could sing.
Mm.
And that's something that we definitely got to talk about. I knew you could sing really well. I did not know how great of a writer, like composer, like creative you were. And then you came, we actually had a session in LA, Record Plant.
Yeah.
You came with your guitar and you just got into it. And I was like, yo, she's just coming up with this stuff, which to me was mind blowing. Cause I was like, you were so crazy talented.
Thank you.
And so, but I think at that point in my career, I was really excited about people who were Christians, people of faith, but were using their gifts for the world. Cause I think there's some artists who make music from the church for the church.
Yeah.
There's some artists who make music from the church to the world. And then there's some artists who make music like from the church, but it redefines everything. And it's kind of like the world appreciates it, the church appreciates it, and it just makes everything better. So I think I look at, like, you know, you have the Hillsong Maverick Cities who like make music for the church, but it's so good that the world pays attention.
Yeah.
And I looked at myself as one of those kind of hybrid, like I'm making music kind of from the church, but it's like trying to redefine things.
Yeah.
But you were always the person I referenced. This is somebody who is from the church, but to the world, like a different perspective, a different outlook on things that other people probably wouldn't process. I like you, John Bellion, you know, those are two people that I always reference. PJ Morton.
It's funny that we now have made an album together.
So,
but yeah,
good segue.
Yeah.
But like in your musical approach, are you thinking that way? Like, how can I? Because you paint new pictures. You paint new pictures with your art. It doesn't have to be explicit like Jesus died. Well, you did do a gospel album.
I did, yeah.
True.
But
but then you also like paint new pictures, like even on your new album, you're telling stories in a healthier vantage point. Mm-hmm. Do you think about that type of stuff when you're creating, or what does that look like?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's so much to unpack there because I think I've always thought of myself as, or I guess I'll rephrase. I've never thought of myself as just like a Christian artist explicitly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, because my faith is so embedded in who I am, mm-hmm. and like I just love Jesus so much, like it's just gonna come out in some way.
Yeah.
And I think even growing up, like, you know, I grew up in church and people would ask like, oh, are you going to do Christian music, this and that? And me and my parents too, like I just wasn't necessarily inspired to make that kind of music. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe that was God kind of nudging me like, no, you're going to be over here making this kind of music, still glorifying me in everything you do. But, and then, yeah, like having the gospel project come out, that was like, okay, I'm going through this really hard time personally. My family's falling apart. And this is like, it doesn't make sense for me to sing pop music right now. Like I need an outlet. And not to say too that I'm like only gonna make gospel music when I'm sad and like things are bad. But for that time, it just made sense. And it kind of happened on accident too. Like it was supposed to be you know, a lot of pop artists will like throw like a gospel song on the end of an album or something like that. And so I wanted to do that with Kirk Franklin. And then that turned into like an 8-song album, essentially. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this.
And Grammys.
But it wasn't like this, you know, I'm going to, like, it wasn't.
It was authentic.
It felt natural. Yeah. It was authentic. Yeah. And so I guess to answer your question, if I think about it when I'm creating, probably not too much. I'm not super aware. I think my whole goal is just to be authentic. And I know if God is living inside of me, like
that's going to come out.
That's just going to come out. And there's certain things I won't sing about because it just doesn't feel
resonate.
True to my life. You know,
I don't know who it was. It may be C.S. Lewis. Somebody said that they want to essentially just be breathing in the truth of God so much that when you prick them, that's what they bleed. So they're not even, it's like Lord of the Rings, I think J.R. Tolkien, who made the movie, he wasn't trying to make a Christian movie. He just was so consumed with his faith that it bled out into this fantasy world he was creating. And
you could say Narnia.
Same thing.
It's all up in there. Yeah.
So on a new album, Tori.
Yeah.
Like.
That's what the album's called, by the way.
Yeah, my bad. On the new album, Tori.
Tori.
The new album called Tori, your self-titled album.
Yeah.
What is the thought process in the creation? Like, I know some of the records you got in the studio with John Bellion.
Yeah.
I love John. I actually hit John sidebar to be like, hey, can we work on some music? And he was like, I'm busy with Tori Kelly right now.
No way.
And I was like, oh, that's perfect.
You're like, my bad.
My bad. You know what I'm saying?
We also definitely work together, though.
We are. So
sick.
I'm planning on it.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, I'm planning on it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so great. Yeah. With this album, I knew I wanted to make fun, upbeat, like make me want to dance type of music.
Yep.
Call it pop, call it, you know, R&B. It's kind of a little bit of everything sprinkled in there. And also includes a lot of like the other styles that I've done in the past.
Mm.
But I went into it. I literally went to John and I was just like, hey, I just want, after he agreed to do, he did the whole album, by the way.
Yeah.
And after he was like down, I was like, I just want big songs that I could belt out in my car that other people are going to want to just like feel good listening to these. And I think the reason for that was, one, we were coming out of COVID. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I don't want to be sad anymore. I want to have happy music.
Gosh.
And then also my album, my last album is technically 2019. It's called Inspired by True Event. I actually wrote it the same time as the gospel album. Those okay. two projects to me almost are like one thing.
Yeah, I remember you playing me both.
Yeah, that's right. You came over. We played stuff. Yeah. And it was just like, it felt so heavy. I mean, I have a song about my grandfather who passed. I have songs about my parents splitting and just like, I was just getting married too. So I'm having all these like happy, exciting things happen in my life. But then I'm like weighed down by all these really sad, heartbreaking things. So rather than, you know, singing about being in love and this exciting new chapter, I'm like, I just have to get this out. I have to sing about these heavy things. And so once I did that, and then through, you know, therapy and like,
shout out to therapy.
You know, healing from that and being in a way better place now, a few years later.
Yeah.
It was like this nice exhale moment. I was like, okay, I'm ready to dance. I'm ready to have fun. Like
celebratory.
Yeah. Like, and also I think the main thing for me with this album, I wasn't expecting this to happen, but it feels like I'm kind of letting out all of these different sides of myself that have been there and are very authentic to me, but maybe I haven't had the right like sonic, you know, palette or right people to sort of bring those things out, or just wasn't the right time. But like I have songs on the album that are, you know, super like High Water is like very inspirational and uplifting. And that's like a huge part of me. And then I have a song that's just silly and about getting ready and going out with your girls and like looking cute. Like that's
Spruce.
Yes, Spruce. I've always wanted to have a song like that. So I think
you get to be human.
Literally, yeah. And it's just kind of touching on like, I feel like we're complex humans.
That's right.
And so it felt like me just having fun in the studio and sort of, you know, painting all these different sides that I've been holding on to.
I envy the fact that your audience lets you be human sometimes. Because sincerely, like I think when you show them one side of the, because we're all a diamond, you know, and there's many facets of a diamond. So we're complex and there's like, hey, here's the sad side. Here's the happy side. Here's this side. Here's that side. Here's the lattes and here's this, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I often have given people such a serious side of me. They don't know there's a silly side or, you know, and so for you, it's like, you did give them records way in the past of just like single life and figuring out the dating spaces. And then you're like, all right, then I'm switching to the sad stuff. And now you're like, hey, here's another side of me.
Yeah,
I've overcome some things. I'm in a different headspace now and I'm enjoying life. And I think you should have permission to be every aspect of who you are in music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm curious. And this is one of the reasons why I said, man, was I a good friend? And I'm thankful because not a lot of people understand the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. Like not a lot of people understand like the spaces we navigate.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some stuff we take for granted and it's just like a thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like, oh yeah, you did a movie or you whatever, or you had a show and there was thousands of people there. And that's just part of your life. But for the average person, it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, but then there's other things that are like crazy, like crazy. Like Beyonce didn't send me flowers when I was feeling down, when I was sick in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Like Beyonce sent you flowers. You sing with Stevie Wonder. You're singing at the Grammys. Like there's a world that you exist in, but there's also a genuineness and a humility. And like, you don't carry yourself like the person with these Grammys who has Beyonce sending her flowers. And like, I know you, but I don't think I've ever even asked you like, how is that? How do you navigate all of that and still keep some sense of like normal life and regularity? And
I think I've grown a lot from when I first started. When I first started, it's like everything's new and crazy, exciting. And I'm just like, I'm a late processor in general. So okay. I was just like kind of floating through it. And then I would process it later. I'm like, yeah. Wow, I just performed at the Grammys. So it was crazy. But I think now that I look back, and you mentioned this earlier, actually, where you said I'm still, what did you say? You said I'm so young still.
Yeah, you're a veteran, but you're young.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, I really feel like that's kind of this place that I'm in, because I look back on everything I've done. I'm like, dang, I've done some pretty cool things, but then I still feel like a little baby sometimes. I'm like, I don't know anything, and I'm just kind of still figuring it out.
Okay.
But I think when I think of, you know, the cool spaces that I've been in, it's this tension and this sort of balance, I guess, of I definitely know that the gifts that I have, any like great gift that people praise, I know where that's coming from. I know that's from God. Mm. So I can kind of rest in that. Mm-hmm. But then also everyone at this crazy event is human. Like no one is better than the other person. And I think that really, that's sort of this thing floating in the back of my head at all times. Yeah. It wasn't always like that. I think in the beginning it was like, you know, wow, this is crazy. And I also will say, like, there is something special about keeping that fangirl alive, because I also don't want to walk into places and be like, everyone is just basic and boring and like, who cares? Because that, you know, I don't want to be jaded either. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's some really talented people that I'd be excited to meet, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think it's that balance of like, you're really dope and I'm a big fan of you, but also you don't got it all figured out either. And you're just a human and you're going through stuff and like, you know, at the end of the day, I think trying to remember that we're all kind of like.
Do you not see how much divine wisdom that is, though? Like, that's like, I think you're casual with it. But like, I remember going to the Roc Nation brunch. Mm-hmm. I'm at the Roc Nation brunch and it's my first time there. And it felt like high school. It felt like the cool kids table was right here.
Wow.
And it was like Rihanna and Kanye and Jay-Z, Calvin Harris and Katy Perry. And then it was like all of us outside of that cool kids table just hanging out. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like
the other cool kids.
Yeah, well, whatever.
That's,
you know what I mean?
I would think.
But that's what I'm saying. But at that point in my life, I didn't have that sense of wisdom of just like, we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just, and I mean, do you think you were raised like that? Do you think it has something to do with your upbringing? Maybe like having some early successes as a kid? Like,
yeah, maybe I've just seen so much. Like I was literally signed when I was 12.
Yeah.
So maybe because I have been let down by the powers that be, in the industry.
Yeah. You navigate those spaces with like wisdom. I can see that now when I'm in those spaces. Like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still excited. Like you said, a little bit of fan, but not like, it's more of a fan of the gift.
Yeah.
But before it was like, what?
I think I've seen, you know, sort of behind the curtain of the industry and record labels and whatever, since I was signed so young.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like promises given and then things that don't happen. So I'm like, okay, can't rely on everyone in this industry.
Yep.
But then also I think when it comes to artists, I think I have experienced it, like at least enough of that sort of fame, like to where I know people who are in like that crazy, crazy level of fame. I've just seen, I guess I'm close enough to it where I could see like, oh man, like these are just normal people hurting and like they're going through unique struggles for sure that nobody else can relate to. But at the end of the day, like they want human connection. Yeah. They want to be treated normal. And I think maybe that's a big part of it too, is it's like, I'm by no means have experienced any of that level of fame, but I'm kind of like,
I don't know. You still like, have I've enough access to see.
Yeah.
They don't have a unique fulfillment that other people don't have. They still crave the same things that we all crave. Like
exactly. So when I, you know, if I were to go into an event and I'm, you know, maybe my first thought is, oh, it's a cool kids table. But then my second thought is like, oh man, like I wonder what they're going through right now. It must be so hard. Like if anything, my next my next thing I would ask is, yeah, I wonder what they're going through.
Yeah. It's interesting because being a celebrity, you get access to things other people don't. Like being the first to access this content. If you want to be the first to access content like this and not have to wait a week or who knows how long before you can see this content, then you should subscribe to B-Side, where you will get the content immediately as soon as it drops and you won't have to wait at all. I mean, you've performed with the biggest celebrities in the world. You got connections all over the place. Do you feel that you're accepted or do you care, you know, in that realm? Like, like I personally wrestled initially, and part of it was my own insecurities, right? My own insecurities of just like, man, they don't want me at the cool kids table or I'm not the same or whatever. And I don't know if everybody feels like that. Some people probably just are like, I don't care. I'm just doing my thing. You know, I'm like, man, God has blessed those folks. That was not my gift.
No, that's real though. I feel that, yeah.
Did you ever feel a sense of like, man, I'm not accepted or I'm not a part of the in crowd?
And I think that has a lot to do with just what I value and maybe what I'm not willing to do that a lot of people would expect if you're trying to do like mainstream type of music.
Yeah.
But that being said, early on in my career, I mean, I literally have songs talking about it. I have a song, Unbreakable Smile, or like Confetti, where I'm talking about the fact that I am different and don't really feel like I fit in. But then that weirdly is what like helped build the career that I have, which kind of made me feel like I fit in now. But I do still wrestle with that. You know, there'll be things that come up where I'm like, oh, it's still the same as it was, you know, where there's kind of these expectations for someone in my position. But I think the older I get, it's more just me being like, nah, like it's just easier and easier to be like, nah, I don't really feel comfortable doing that or like that's, or wearing that or whatever. Like I just, think I settle in more to like, no, this is what's been working for me and kind of take it or leave it at this point.
Your integrity is more valuable to you at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, for sure.
I can see that. And I had to grow to get to that space because I, not like I was like, oh man, I'm willing to compromise myself in order to be accepted. But I wrestled with, you know, kind of a twofold piece of like, am I impactful out here? And then I felt like I had this like scarlet letter on me because it's like, oh, you're the Christian rapper. That means you're not good enough.
And I
was like, oh, I gotta prove to you I'm better.
I can hang.
You know, and you obviously don't have to prove skill-wise your vocal ability, but I know like, obviously to be a woman in mainstream music, it's like, how much skin are you showing? How sexualized are you being? You know, who are you associating yourself with? Where are you putting yourself? And you just have not done that. And you don't feel bad about it or?
No,
great.
Not anymore. No, and really, I shouldn't even say not anymore. Cause like I said, I go back to those early songs I put out and sometimes I'm like, oh, you were in a weird way. It's almost like my younger self was talking to my older self. And she was like, hey, you're going to experience this, this, and this. Just like, remember to, you know, stay true, hang on to this pillar, hang on to this truth, and you'll be good. And I was like 18 writing these songs. So I'm like, I don't know. I listen back. I'm like, I don't remember thinking that deeply back then, but that's why I think it is this weird kind of like, she's talking to me. Future me.
It came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you are a vocalist. Like, no. You're like a real vocalist.
Thank you.
It's an interesting dynamic. And I always say it's like this, like people love to see folks they don't expect to do things like crazy. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like when you see the scrawny little white kid with glasses on get on a basketball court and he like kills it, you're like, wow. So to see this like young little dainty girl from, you know, Southern Cali just belt out these phenomenal, like this vocal range and capability, like, was that always your story? Did that, like, When did that first become a reality for you? Like, oh, shoot, this is different.
It's funny, the way you just described it, I got a flashback because I was 10 years old on Star Search.
Yeah.
And two members of Boyz II Men were the like celebrity judges. And they literally said that same thing. They're like, this big voice coming out of this little girl. Like, how is this possible? So I think it was around that time when I was like, maybe it was sooner though. Because I think my parents always, they were so supportive. I was doing like, I was doing singing competitions at like six. That's when I started. And just for the record, they were never like forcing me to do anything. I was the one like, let me, you know, they weren't like, I don't know, like scary pageant parents or anything that. Yeah. But yeah, I really fell in love with singing. And I think I got reactions at an early age, but I think I'm such a perfectionist and such a critic like to myself that I didn't really feed into the like, oh, yay, like y'all like this. Like I was so busy like perfecting, like, you guys think that sounded good, but it didn't. Like y'all are crazy. And so I still do that. Like I'll get off stage some nights on tour and people are like, oh my gosh, you killed that. That was amazing. Inside I'm like, no, I didn't. Like you didn't hear this one note and this one note. Like I'm annoying. It's annoying.
Yeah,
it's a blessing and a curse.
Your bad note is somebody else's dream note, first and foremost. Now that's kind of crazy because, like even your musical influences, right? Like I know you got the Mariah Carey, you got the, India Irie guitar singing, like all of those things
into your research.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? A little something, but I'm just saying like, why did you gravitate to those particular artists, you know what I mean? Like even it's more R&B, soul, gospel sounds, not traditional pop, not even country. Like, you know what I mean? Like what do you think did that?
I think my dad played a big role.
Okay.
Both my parents are such music lovers, but he was so adamant about playing like so many different kinds of music. I remember being really obsessed with a Stacey Aiko album. Shout out Stacey Aiko. Love her.
So they was running that Christian music in the house.
Oh yeah. But I was listening to everything. It was like Stacey Aiko, but then my dad would be playing like Maxwell or something in the back. I didn't know what the lyrics were. I didn't know what he was saying because it was all about the instrumental sections and neo soul in general. It's like Jill Scott, Maxwell, D'Angelo.
Yeah.
There's so much space in that music that he and I would have like riff battles with each other. Like, I didn't know that's what I was doing at the time, but he would just, you know, sing something, I'd sing it back, or then I would start a riff and he would copy it. So he'd play little games like that with me.
Yeah.
But my mind was filled with so many different types of music. Mary Mary, I was obsessed.
Shackles. Somebody play Shackles right now. I know you.
That album and it came out in 2000, I think. I know every riff, every run, like, you could play it right now and I probably wouldn't know the words, but like all the melodies, everything. Yeah. It's so ingrained. So yeah, it's like gospel, R&B, neo soul. Definitely had that, like had pop too, just whatever was, you know, popular. I remember like, just going back to my dad, I remember being really into a Christina Aguilera album.
Christina got some chops.
Yeah, too. And she just like chops. Studying that vocally. And I even sang one of her songs on a TV show when I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, he's so good at this because he would notice that I started getting like the growl a little bit that she has because I would be so good at like copying her. And he would like stop me from listening to it. He's like, okay, now you got to listen to this. Like you're not allowed to listen to her anymore. And it's not even any shade to her. It's just like he was trying to make me discover what my voice was instead of copying somebody else. So I really do give a lot of credit to him. I think he was very smart in how he just kind of supported me, but like, you know, guided me and just made sure I was figuring out my own style. And then later on when I picked up the guitar, it was like Indie Irie. Yeah, I loved like just that singer-songwriter vibe, John Mayer, Jeff Buckley.
That part to me, like, I'm not going to lie to you. When you came to the studio in L.A. that time and pulled the guitar out and started just, like, crafting, I was like, she's different. You know what I mean? Okay, she's different. Another thing that's kind of wild to me is, like, I've seen you a time or two on They Have Range, which is an IG page that, like, highlights vocalists. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Black community is very, they are a hard audience to win over on the vocal capabilities.
Yeah.
And you consistently come out winning. Like, you get vouched for. There's the Black community and there's the Black gospel community. That's a whole nother ball game. And they rock with you so heavy. I don't know, like, to me, that's like the ultimate badge of honor to have folks like that. Like, oh, she could sing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, is it natural for you to hit those notes, those melodies, those riffs, those, you know, is that natural or is that something you just, you picked up over time? Is it like, if you just put yourself, because you can do pop, you can do anything, but you're able to hit a lot of the R&B and gospel notes and ranges just easily. Like, is that a natural thing?
Yeah, I think it goes back to how I grew up. I mean, I think it's a mixture of what, like I said, what my dad was playing in the house, and I was really good at emulating all those styles. But then I think also being mixed probably helps too. It is
so,
like,
it's in you.
It's in me.
It's not
you
on
know?
You, it's in you.
Right. Ah. Right. So yeah, I think like just that soulfulness was, I was around it.
Yeah.
Like my dad's side, Jamaican and Puerto Rican. But then it didn't stop there. It was like, I felt like I was so surrounded by just different cultures, which I think made me exposed to all the different food and all the different music too.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of downloaded in there. And then my challenge was like, how do I make sure this feels like my own sound and like I'm not, you know, copying anybody else. But I love it. I mean, I think, like you said, it's a huge badge of honor, I would say.
I'm telling you, when they highlight, like, that's my goal. My goal is to just make the singer's room one time. So maybe if you can do vocal lessons.
I got you.
Or something like that. Just
you can
one
sing.
Time.
I've heard.
I can hold it. If Tori Kelly said I can sing,
you
I can sing.
It's low key. It's subtle.
Yeah,
but it's in there. I've heard you on your albums.
Yeah. I can sing. You said that.
Yeah.
You said it. I can sing.
Yeah.
So, the new album, Tori.
Yeah.
If there's like one thing that you're excited for people to hear, it's what? As far as this album is concerned. Like, not song, but just like, I want you to walk away with like something. Is it the joy? Is it the peace? Is it knowing you better? Like, what do you think that is?
Yeah, I think the main takeaway I'd want people to walk away with after they hear this album, I think knowing me better is definitely a huge part of it. And I feel like I'm kind of updating people in like the place that I'm in, even if it's just, wow, she seems really happy now again, because the last albums were just very like sad when I listened to those songs. I'm like, dang, that was heavy. But yeah, I think knowing me better, but then for their own lives, like I think it would just be dope to be a soundtrack for people's lives. I think there's a song for every type of mood on this album. Mm-hmm. And this album in particular, I just think I want it to be like a feel good experience for people.
Nah,
you know,
I'm excited.
Roll
I got
down
to
the
hear
windows
some of it, and it's,
in the car, blast it, that kind of vibe.
It's fire.
Thank you.
Also, you're going on tour. I don't.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about you on tour is it's never just you. It's thousands of other people on tour with you, because the whole audience is participating. I have never seen anything
that.
Like, that is crazy.
And you were at the Atlanta show, which like, Atlanta's
I felt like
always,
everybody was auditioning.
But Atlanta's like next level too. Like they're always, I filmed a music video in Atlanta at a show because the energy is just.
It was out of control.
Amazing.
I was like, can everybody here sing? Am I the only person who can't? Like the crowd was hit, like you were hitting certain notes and they were with you.
They were harmonizing.
Yo, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So you going everywhere on this tour. Everyone's going to get an opportunity to be a part of the traveling chorus.
Right, exactly. And that's honestly, that kind of ties in with the last question of just like what I'd want people to feel with this album. Mm. When I was in the studio, I was already thinking of the live version. So I think this album for me is very tied to like who I am as a performer too.
Mm.
And I think getting to showcase that and like maybe some things that people haven't seen from me yet. I think that's a big part of just going back to like that last question. Cause I think there's just stuff that I haven't been able to express.
Right.
Even just like the way I perform and just moving more and like being more free on stage.
No, your live show's crazy.
It's fun.
Your live show's crazy. I had my guy Trip Lee. His daughter was sitting on his shoulders, singing every single word. But then she was also mesmerized. Aww. And it was like, and then I brought my son, and my son is like, you know, he came for other reasons, of course. He's like, man, Tori Kelly bad, man. I was like, Tori Kelly married, man. And Dre is my dog. Back up. I put him on blast. I'm sorry, yo. I put you on blast, but I was
no
like,
idea.
Yo,
that's
man.
So funny.
I was like, that's
I'm gonna
weird.
Make fun of him now when I see him.
Yeah, please.
Oh no, that'd be so sad though. He'll be like so embarrassed.
He's over it. He has phases. It was like, you know,
that's
it'd be
so funny.
It'd be somebody different all the time. Yeah. But anyway, but
how old is he? He's 16.
But he loved the show. He was like, yeah, that show was kind of, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, she's really good. I was like, yeah, she's dope. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, you got to come.
I again, like, to me, this is just being able to catch up with, you know, like a friend and just being able to hang with you.
I know we could probably talk for like way
there's so many
more
things
hours.
We could talk about. And I could hit on everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure hopefully there'll be other opportunities in the future for us to just talk about so many different things. But a couple things. One, I'm super encouraged at from where you were when we first initially met, some of the questions you had, some of the stuff you're processing to where you are now. You're like a beacon of wisdom.
Oh.
And you embody it and you walk in it. And there's a level of confidence that a lot of people could not walk in if they were in the space that you are. Like there's a lot of accolades and fame and all these different things. And to me, it is just very symbolic of a person who understands that the gift is not theirs for their own like self glorification, but the gift is theirs to give back to other people to use in a way that benefits the world. And I just think you're doing a phenomenal job at that. So
thank you.
I want to tell you that.
I would like to also say that I feel like by having friends like you for Dre, my husband, Dre, us being able to have friends like you in our life where we can talk about just what this world is like and then talk about our faith and how it all makes sense and maybe being able to process those things together like that. Because you're just giving me a lot of credit just now, but I want to kind of push it back to you because you have been somebody in our life where it just feels like we're not alone in it. And you, sir, are a beacon of wisdom, I feel like. And I've always looked up to you and just respected you so much. And I love your heart. So I just want to give that credit right back to you because I think, being able to have someone like you in our lives has been really helpful navigating all of it, you know.
I'm thankful for you, man.
Likewise.
Grateful for your time. Appreciate you being here, man.
So fun.
Thank you for coming and baptizing the deep end with your presence, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, everybody go get Tori, the album, Tori.
Go get Tori.
Only Dre can get Tori. But go get the album, Tori, and go see her on tour. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Love.
Love.
Yeah.